not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 15th, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, today I've got Mark Weber coming up from the Institute for Historical Review. He's going to tell us how the United States is heading down the same path as other empires and tell us how we got here and hopefully some stuff we can do about it. But before I get into that, I want to mention to you on my show coming up tomorrow, thank you, Don in Oregon, for this one, by the way. I finally put a show together on this. The question is, do we own ourselves? And if not, who owns us? I'll be talking about that tomorrow. And Thursday, I got Sherry Jackson coming up. She's going to give us an update on what's happening in her world. And by the way, Wesley Snipes has decided he's going to fight this IRS thing. And so that'll be interesting. That'll get some high-profile reviews. And while we're talking about that, I wanted to share with you real quick, I just read an article out of the Associated Press. The two men accused of helping the New Hampshire tax evaders, Ed and Elaine Brown, evade capture, have been accused of building explosives to help fight off federal agents. A new indictment alleges that Jason Gerhardt built pipe bombs. It also accuses Danny Riley of creating an explosive and building homemade guns designed as booby traps to shoot shotgun shells. Following the Browns' arrests, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives agents supposedly or allegedly searched the property and reported finding dozens of completed destructive devices and the materials to build many more. I don't remember that. Do you, any of you out there remember any reports like that? At a pretrial hearing, Assistant U.S. Attorney Arnold Huftalen said Riley told investigators he had purchased an explosive chemical mixture called Tannerite, mixed together its components and hung jars of the compound from trees and outbuildings with bright orange markers facing the Browns' hilltop house. Huftalen said Riley described a plan to shoot the Tannerite jars from afar if federal agents were spotted on the property. If the jars were ignited, the explosion would be powerful enough to injure or kill anyone in the general proximity, Huftalen said. The indictment charges Riley with creating these Tannerite devices. Huftalen also said Riley described building improvised guns from pipes and other hardware, many of which were found at the scene. I don't remember any reports about that either. The devices worked as spring-loaded detonators for shotgun shells and were held back with firing pins tied to tripwires. The plan, as Riley described it, was to secure the guns to trees along the property line and string the wire so that someone walking through the property might trip the wire, fire a shotgun blast in their direction. Now, folks, as you recall, I covered this. I was up there in Plainfield, New Hampshire. We all were a party. We were all a witness to what happened, and we know that these guys, the four people, were arrested after the fact. But I simply do not recall. I remember the police raided, I believe it was Jason Gerhardt's garage, and said that they allegedly found parts that could have made a pipe bomb. But I remember absolutely nothing about any of this. Yet in this article, it's describing that Riley told investigators he had purchased an explosive chemical mixture called Tannerite and mixed it together with components. Now, what's going on here? Do any of you listeners out there know anything about this, have any affiliation with these guys, or know anything about these allegations of them building bombs? Other than that, the pipes that were found in his garage. Anyway, we'll be back in three. I was just curious about that. We'll be back in three with my guest, Mark Weber. Stick with us. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Got a good show coming up. Call your friends and neighbors. I think you're going to learn some stuff today. Be right back.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh, boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm going to go to my guest here. I believe Mark Weber is with us. Mark, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Very good. It's a pleasure to be back on the show with you again, Michael.
Yes, it's been a while. Well, let's fill up the craniums today with a lot more useful information. I believe we're going to talk a little bit about the path the United States is heading down, as other empires have in the past. Is that correct, Mark?
That's correct. And we're going to to put the what's going on now with the political scene and so forth into this larger perspective.
Well, great. All right, I'm going to give you the floor and let you take off. Speed down the runway, buddy.
Well, the thing that's really striking to me about the political campaign now is how all the leading candidates all talk about change. They all insist that things are going to be changing if they're president. Even George Bush the other day in an interview said that if he was running for president, he'd be calling for change. Of course, the question is, if everybody's in favor of change, how come nothing changes? Well, the reason is that they don't have any real plan about changing anything in any substantive way. Politics is about power. And as long as those who hold power and use it for their interests are in place, there can't be any substantive change, any real change in society. Now, the thing that is so striking is that the candidates talk about change because the American public is very uneasy. I don't think ever in American history has America been so apprehensive, so concerned, so worried about the future. Because around us, we see the country drifting off in a way that most people don't like. Polls show that two-thirds of the public think that the country is going in the wrong direction. And everybody senses this. It's not that the economy is so bad, although that's not a good thing, but we don't have massive soup lines or people lined up or so forth. It's not like the Great Depression. And yet, even though the economy sort of cranks along, everybody senses that the future is not a good one. And the most dramatic example of that is America is becoming more and more a third world country. It's becoming more and more like Mexico or some country in Latin America or so forth. And people know that, they sense it, they don't like it, but they don't know what to do about it. And this is the most striking thing, because this major aspect, this major direction that we're going in, has very, very strong parallels with the way that other societies in the past have gone. And so to understand why we're in this situation, where we're going, it's very good to look back and to see the examples and the experiences of other societies and other countries in the past that have gone down the same path that we're going down right now.
Okay, are we going to explore a few of those today?
Yes, yes. One of the most obvious parallels is between America today and the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire began not as an empire, but as a republic. It was built around the core of the Latin people in Italy. And for a long time, it was organized very differently than it was when it was at its greatest power. But the source of its strength was the solidity, the cultural, ethnic unity of the people who built the empire. But as they expanded, they became more and more, as it were, multicultural, more and more multi-ethnic. But the core of the empire then became more and more diluted. And something like that's happening in America today. You know, it comes down to this. Americans ask themselves, what makes America a great country? Now, most Americans have this idea that America is a country that's had a good run, it's been prosperous, it's been free for a long time because we have a good constitution, or because the founding fathers set things up in a good direction. But that's really silly. It's childish, really. If we compare the United States today with the countries to the north and south of us, Canada and Mexico, far more Americans would prefer to live in Canada than in Mexico. Because even though Canada has no tradition of fighting for freedom, and Mexico has sort of a tradition of that, life is far more agreeable to what most Americans, for what most Americans would prefer, not because Canada is a country with a tradition of having a great constitution or founding fathers or fighting for freedom, but because it's a country largely of European origin and background. It has a high general intelligence level. It's not a third world country in the way Mexico is. And many Americans don't understand why we're even in the situation we are today. So we have people flailing around. Many people who are unhappy with the system today look for hope with the political scene that we're involved in right now. They look for hope with Ron Paul or for Barack Obama or these other candidates. But there cannot be any real substantive change in the direction we're going until we at least understand how we got to the situation we're in today. Now, going back to the Roman Empire, or the Roman Republic, America was organized something like the Roman Republic for a long time. But as America expanded and it's changed its basic philosophy about what kind of country we are, it much resembles the Roman Empire as it became a multi-ethnic, multicultural empire, embracing all the way from Britain up in the north to Spain on the west to what is now Iraq and almost to India in the east and the northern part of Africa. But America is going along in this same direction. And the people in the Roman Empire, as time went on, there was very little to hold on to that people could define themselves in the Roman Empire except its own power. And something is like that's happening in America today. Americans have it's harder and harder to define America in any kind of cultural terms. And so America is defined today increasingly just by it's for liberty, or it's for freedom, or it's for democracy. In other words, the nation is not defined by what it is, but what it believes, supposedly, or what it supposedly stands for. And that's not what people fight for. It's not what they sacrifice for. And the Roman Empire went in the same direction America is going in that way.
Well, now, you know, for a long time, or well, at least for the first 100 years, America had a spirit, if you will, and it was freedom, and it was the beacon of the world. It's the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the immigrants came from far and wide because they wanted a piece of it. And so from your standpoint, and I know you're heavy into the Institute for Historical Review, and obviously you go down these journalistic paths in study of what has happened. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can lay into the pot here. For the last 100 years, I mean, you know, since 1913, the Federal Reserve came into play. We have a fiat currency now. There's a lot of apathy. We have a big illegal immigration problem. We have people coming over the border. And really, the spirit or the culture is starting to get diluted. And, you know, when I go out in public, and I do this every week, Mark, I go out and I actually talk to people, I interview people, and I ask them specific questions about what their viewpoints are on, like, a North American Union or vaccines or any of these things. And I would say that better than 80% of the American public is so totally dumbed down that their eyes glaze over anytime you ask them a specific question.
Right.
So, you know, we go back. I mean, from your perspective, at what point in time did we start to lose our way? Because this is the platform for Ron Paul. He keeps saying we've lost our way, we've got to get back. At what point in time, how far back in history did the American public as a whole start to lose their way, whether it be through, right, you know, spiritual dissidents or whatever it was? Okay.
Right. Michael, you've raised a whole lot of very, very good points and good questions. When did America go off track? Now, God bless him, Ron Paul is a principled man. And that alone sets him apart, I think, along with perhaps Kucinich and Gravel, sets him apart from the other leading candidates. These people, most of them, have a record of flailing back and forth, have no record of any kind of devotion to principle, much less the Constitution, which every president takes an oath to uphold. Ron Paul stands out distinctively in that regard. But Ron Paul's analysis of the problem is a very pessimistic one, because if liberty or the spirit of individualism or the libertarian outlook is what made America great, and that's critical, how then did it go from there to here in the first place then? If people used to have this spirit, what happened? Why did it go wrong? If the Constitution is such a great document, how has it been so perverted then? What's to prevent that? Because what's important in society is not the Constitution. It's the character and the
makeup. The cohesion of like-minded individuals.
Okay.
Striving,
then,
right, to protect their freedoms. Go ahead.
It's not a question of being like-minded. It's a question of people being of the same kind of people. They're already similar. Look, the problem in America, in a way, is it's the problem of America is also its strength. People came to this country as individuals to better themselves as individuals, overwhelmingly from Europe. And coming to the continent of North America, which was basically empty, there were very few people here, only Indians. They were able to take it away very easily. A continent bursting in resources, protected by oceans on each side, America was able to expand very well and very quickly, and to provide a good living for everyone for a long time, because America had no kinds of enemies in the way that other countries around the world have had, and because America was able to avoid the great catastrophic wars of the First World War and the Second World War. The longest period of prosperity and power, economic and military and so forth, and industrial for the United States, was from about 1930, past World War II, up until around the 1980s or 90s. And the reason for that isn't because America is a great country or we have a great constitution or people believe in liberty. It's because America emerged from the Second World War as the only industrial country that wasn't destroyed in the war.
Okay, hold on. Let's hold that thought. Let's hold that thought. We got to take a break, Mark. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Mark Weber. We're going to have a lot more to come, folks. Stick with us. Be right back.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber, with the Institute for Historical Review. And, Mark, you were talking about up to, I believe, right past World War II. Go ahead.
Well, the point is that America was prosperous for all those years, not because we had a great Constitution, although that was a good thing. I'm not running down the Constitution, but that's not the source of America's greatness. The source of America's prosperity has to do with the natural way in which the United States is, exists. That is, people were able to come in and land was very cheap. There was tremendous resources. We weren't threatened by foreign armies in the way that other countries have been. We were able to take advantage of these resources, exploit them quickly. People of character and intelligence moved to this continent from mainly from Europe. And that's the reason America, it's not some magic thing about the Constitution. Right now, around the world, the countries that are prosperous and do well, and the countries that don't do well are not character. The critical factor isn't the Constitution. A Constitution is only as good, only as strong as the people who enforce it, who live it, who uphold it. You know, the Constitution of the United States, first of all, the Constitution we have is the second one. The first Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, were a failure. And the Constitution of the United States was made by people meeting in Philadelphia who actually had no mandate even to write a new constitution, but they did so anyway. They had only a mandate to modify the Articles of Confederation, the first constitution. And the first, you know, but the first constitution failed in its greatest crisis. The greatest crisis that America faced in its history was the American Civil War. And that was resolved not constitutionally, but through warfare, through the deaths of several hundreds of thousands of young Americans. That's how it was resolved. In a sense, the Constitution, in its most great, in its greatest test during the Civil War, was a failure. Today, the Constitution has been violated overwhelmingly by the by our political. It's not carried out in the way that the Founding Fathers intended it to be, and hasn't been for a long time. And the American people, in a way, don't want it to be carried out the way it was originally intended. You know, even people who are supporters of Ron Paul or Ron Paul himself, I doubt very much whether many of them would want presidents to be chosen the way the Constitution originally intended. The way the Constitution originally intended it and the way it's laid out is that the people do not even vote for the president. The Founding Fathers set up the selection of the chief executive through a thing called the Electoral College, not by people who are already pledged to a candidate, but by through election of local electors who then meet together and on their own choose a chief executive. But that was already set aside with the third election of the United States after George Washington, so that nowadays when people vote, even though they're technically voting for electors, they actually vote for men or women who are already pledged to a given candidate. The Founding Fathers set up the Constitution to not permit the public to vote directly for political leaders. For many years, and by the original Constitution, the U.S. Senate was not elected. Senators were chosen by state legislatures. Voting was very restricted for a long time in American history. For most of American history, the vast majority of people did not have any political power. They weren't allowed to vote. Women were not allowed to vote. Non-whites were not allowed to vote. Early on in the history of the United States, non-Christians could not vote, and people who didn't own property could not vote. So that the Constitution already was changed very early on from what the Founding Fathers originally intended. But to go back to the other comparison, Canada has no history of a constitution or a battle for freedom or so forth, but it's a relatively prosperous country. It's a kind of country that many Americans would like to live in if they didn't live in the United States. But Canada's strength isn't that it had a constitution or not a constitution. Its strength is the heritage that it brought from Europe. And that's more of a source of strength than a constitution, particularly given that our constitution here, as I said, failed in its greatest crisis and is not upheld in any way, even by people who talk about the constitution, in a way that the Founding Fathers originally intended.
Well, if that be the case, and I mean, it's still to this day, you know, and I have to admit, you know, I'm not an expert in the political process, but, you know, when a presidential election happens, we've got the popular vote, and then we've got the electoral vote. And from my understanding is that it is indeed the electoral vote that is the final decision that elects a president of the United States. That's correct, right?
That's correct. That's by okay. In the year 2000, George W. Bush became president, even though he got fewer votes than his opponent, Al Gore. Al Gore actually got more votes, more popular votes, than did George W. Bush. But our system means that nowadays it means that that's George W. Bush won the election, even though that's how our so-called democracy exists. And
well,
it's very
okay. I was going to say, let me just stop you for a minute and ask. Then, you know, because I had mentioned to you off the air, we're looking into the back. We've got some people working on possible vote fraud in New Hampshire. But if that's the case, and the Electoral College, the electoral vote is the ones that actually elect the president, then why is it that, I mean, is it just a facade? Is it just a show for the American public to go out and cast their vote in the first place?
Right. Well, I'm making even a more dramatic point, more important point. The way the Constitution was originally set up, the people were not supposed to vote for a president. They were supposed to vote for men in their community who were called electors. The electors were supposed to meet and then on their own decide who the president should be. The way the Constitution was originally set up, people were not supposed to vote directly for the president.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's hold that thought, Mark. We'll be back in three with a longer segment. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber from the Institute of Historical Review. We'll be right back. Stick with us, folks. A lot of information here today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber, with the Institute for Historical Review. My engineer tells me that the phone lines are already loading up. Mark, I wanted to kind of wait till the top of the hour. How about you?
Founding fathers,
hello, Mark.
Yeah.
What's that?
The Founding Fathers did not want a democratic America, and there lies part of the problem, because those people talk about upholding the Constitution, especially in the way it was originally intended, must by the same standards say we shouldn't have a democracy. The Constitution of the United States doesn't talk about democracy. Things were set up in a different way. So that worrying about and the history of democracies is not a very good one. They don't last very long. Because
Can I stop you there and just make a quick reference? And I gave this some serious thought. I woke up this morning with a chill going down my back with a whole another story. But, you know, when we were going to school, we stood up and saluted the flag and said to the republic for which it stands. And I have not heard the word republic used in a long, long time. They're always talking about democracy. And what concerns me is democracy is the majority wins. Well, the majority of people in this country are so apathetic and dumbed down, this administration or political figures can do just about anything they want to do, and this dumbed down, mind-numbed American public will go right along with it.
That's right.
Yes.
How can we reconcile the fact that the vast majority of people increasingly are both ignorant and uncaring, if even selfish, about the future of the country and the general welfare, and at the same time, those are the people that are supposed to have power? Did we get into the situation we are today because we have too much or too little democracy? Those people who are worrying about vote fraud seem to think what we need is more democracy. But the fact is that we're in this direction precisely because we've allowed power to be done in this way, and the vast majority of people can be manipulated because they are very easily swayed by superficial arguments, by advertising, by what the media tells them, what they see on television, and they do not stand back enough to look at the situation, and they don't even care really about the larger welfare of the country. The vast majority of people in every society care first and foremost about themselves, their family, and their friends, and that's it. And that's understandable. And that's why, for a healthy society, in any good society, the leadership has to be made up of people who care about the long-term welfare and interests of the nation, of the society. And we cannot have people who care really about the long-term welfare of the country when they're elected by people who are out for their own individual, personal, and selfish interests.
No, I mean, and you're right. You know, the viewpoint that these people, and again, I'm referring to not my audience, but the mind-numb, dumbed-down American people, they are influenced and convinced by basically media shills who get on there. They look good, they talk good, and they're only parroting what somebody else in the administration or whoever is telling them to say. And a lot of people that I have interviewed don't even watch the news. They're too busy watching Dancing with the Stars or Survivor or whatever.
Right.
But the key issue here is, Mark, you know, what kind of what ingredients do we need? What can we do as as this small minority of awakened Americans to wake these people up? Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I go out there and I'm out, you know, into a different setting, whether I'm in a coffee plantation or whatever, and I almost feel like grabbing them by the tie and just shaking them and slapping them and saying, "What's the matter with you?" I mean, the corporate media has done such a great job. You have to give them credit for mesmerizing, hypnotizing these people into a false state of security. And a lot of people out there, as you well know, you know, they know that there's something not quite right, but they can't put their finger on it. Well, how do you put your finger on something if you have 20 pieces of a 1,000-piece puzzle?
Yes, it's true.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's right. No, it's a nation and a people that does not have a good sense of history, a good sense of where we've come from, cannot have any good sense of who we are or where to go. Without a sense of history, and I mean real history, of the past, it's impossible to chart the way to the future. And that's the American public today. And so our political candidates, they don't even talk about really the past in any meaningful or serious way, much less the long-term future. What they talk about are short-term problems right here and now. And the public response, because that's as far as most people can even see. And that's a huge problem. The first and foremost task is awareness. And I mean serious awareness about who we are, where we came from, because without that, we can't go ahead. Now, I think the situation is so bad that unless and until there's a real breaking of the system that we have in place, there will be any real change, because people will tend in a crisis to just do more emphatically what they're already used to doing. They'll just continue to do the same thing, but more vehemently. But the path we've been on is not one that's been bad for 5 years or 10 years. We've been on the wrong path for at least 70 years. And unless and until there's an awareness that the path we've been on for a long time is wrong, and we have to change in a very fundamental way, there cannot be any real change in the direction we're going.
Well, I mean, but, you know, we cannot totally blame ourselves, and you said it right. You know, going back in the history, just for example, with the Federal Reserve or the United States declaring bankruptcy in 1933, our fathers, our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, they were not I don't want to say they were as dumbed down as we were, but some of these nefarious events that have been going on behind the public's back for so long, this is nothing new. Okay, now over the past, especially since 9/11, they've become more blatant. But this is nothing, you know, it didn't just pop up around the corner in the last 5 or 10 years. And when you bring up the subject of real history, the problem with history is, and I'm sure that you can relate to this, I went to school, I read my history books, and I found out, you know, after I really became awakened, that a lot of the history I was reading in the history books is false. Mm-hmm. It's, history is portrayed by the winners. It's written by the winners.
A lot of the
history that they say happened didn't happen. I think it was just released just the other day here about the Gulf of Tonkin, for example. Didn't even happen. For crying out loud. But it was used as an excuse to sacrifice 58,000 American soldiers over the agenda of this administration or the military-industrial complex. And then you're talking about, this new word. And I'll tell you what, Mark, I have to tell you, I cringe every time I hear them now with their latest buzzword, which is change.
Right.
We want change. But they never tell us what. They don't tell us what they're changing to.
That's right, because people can't even agree what the change should be. They can't agree themselves. People, the main point about the talking about change, it's to respond, I think, to the public's unease and worry and concern about the way things are. People don't like what's happening to America, but they don't know why we've got into this situation, much less what we do to resolve it. And that's why candidates talk about change. Without being very specific. They also talk about hope. Well, that's all nice. Or they talk even more ludicrously about bringing people together. What the heck does that mean exactly? We all hug each other and say, look, that's all silly talk. And
right.
The very fact that politicians can get away with that shows how simplistic, how childlike the general population has become in this country, that they don't just dismiss these people. You know, it's more than that. The very people who are running for president are, with almost no exception, the people who are upholders and pillars of the very establishment that they claim they want to change. It's impossible. It's ludicrous. And so the public is left having to vote for people on the way they come across in a debate, whether they seem confident, whether they seem to say things that we kind of agree with. And but the public itself is confused. It's not just a question of the history is wrong. Look, I'll give one example. Ron Paul alone, philosophically, believes that the Social Security system shouldn't exist. But there are millions of older Americans for whom the primary issue in a campaign is, am I going to get my Social Security checks? And any candidate who talks about in any way of tampering with that, the millions of people say, well, that's not for me. They want things, they want the money to keep flowing, they want things to be good for themselves, and concern about the long-term welfare of the country, much less any principles and so forth, are just very, very unimportant to most people.
Well, no, that's a good point that you make, Mark, but you know as well as I do that when Ron Paul says, he wants to limit spending, he wants to take the troops home, he wants to pull the troops out of these countries, and on the topic of Social Security, he's not talking about just cutting off the Social Security checks. You know that. Well, this is a program that could be very easily phased out, and, in my estimation, I would say it'd probably take maybe a generation.
Maybe you're right. It's just that millions of people, as soon as they hear him saying, we've got to change it, that the alarm bells go off, and that's all they need to hear, and they say, well, I'm not going to have vote for anybody that might monkey with my checks coming every month.
Yeah, not
that's
to mention the fact
that
all – go ahead.
That was my only point. Not that he's wrong, only that or that it's workable or not workable. It's only just how millions of people in the public vote for very narrow interests. Millions of people are on welfare. All they want to make sure is those welfare checks are coming or
sure.
so forth. That's the way – many people who are farmers, they get farm subsidies. They want to make sure the farm subsidy payments keep going. That's, in general, how people tend to vote. And they don't vote and they don't think in the larger term of the country as a whole because it's very difficult to. In fact, how much real concern, or, well, I'll put it this way, how much identity, how much sense of togetherness does a corn farmer in Nebraska have or feel to a person on welfare in South Central Los Angeles or in Detroit?
Not.
Almost none, because
right.
the person in South Central L.A. is more alien to him than somebody living in Toronto, Canada. It's very difficult to get people to pull together in a country that is already as undefined, as non-cohesive as America has become.
Well, let me pose this to you for a moment. All right, let's take Social Security off the table for a minute, because I've already analyzed, and I believe that over a generation it could be done. Now, that's not going to be on Ron Paul's watch, but Let's take it a step further. Ron Paul is talking about cutting spending. And the reason, part of the reason we've got into this, you know, this major catastrophe that we're in is we're in 130 countries in the world. We're scattered all over. We indeed are an empire.
Right.
And he's talking about pulling them all out, bringing them all home.
Right.
Okay. Now, that alone, and I just looked at a budget just the other day. I believe it was like $471 billion for the military budget, and that does not include Afghanistan and the allotments for the occupation of Iraq.
Right.
So we've got a good portion of our military budget, more than anybody else, any other country in the world, going towards the military. If indeed Ron Paul were to take all the troops out, bring them home from Iraq, bring them home from Afghanistan, you know, Korea, all these places, that alone, believe it or not, would be almost enough money to eliminate this draconian income tax.
Yeah, you're making a very good point. And indeed, to go back to the comparison about empires, that's what just sucks the lifeblood out of a country that tries to maintain an empire for a very long time. That happened in the Roman Empire. It was true of the British Empire. The British Empire, they decided, I think, wisely, look, it's just they gave it up and it's gone. Now, Britain didn't fall apart because they gave up their empire, and America wouldn't fall apart if it gave up its empire. But part of the problem of giving that up is because are several things. First of all, the pro-Israel lobby wants us to keep up the empire in part to defend Israel and its interests in the Middle East. And Israel has lots of enemies, because giving up an empire also means that if people are fighting each other in other parts of the world, you let them do it. You don't intervene. Now, that's going to be very hard to sustain if the media tells us over and over we've got to defend Israel. We cannot simultaneously say we're going to give up our empire and then at the same time say we're going to defend those countries that our media and the public says we've got to defend overseas.
Well, Mark, let me ask you. But Israel, we already know, and I believe it was Ehud Olmert that slipped and admitted that they've got about, between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons. They can make any country over there into a parking lot. Why do we even need to defend them at all, for crying out loud? Not to mention what they're doing to the Palestinians. Go ahead.
Well, that's right. Those are very good points, and that point's been made by others, that Israel's strong enough. But Israel depends for its existence on continual transfusions of money and support from the United States, not just in financial or military terms, but also diplomatically. If Israel were held to the same standards in the world, in the United Nations and by us, that we hold other countries to, we would be boycotting Israel, or we'd be attacking Israel, because it has done the very things that we say we've got to invade other countries to try to stop. Israel is the only right now there's a tremendous talk about going against Iran because they might have or did have or could have an unauthorized nuclear weapons program. Israel has an unauthorized nuclear weapons program. Israel doesn't even try to abide by international standards. Israel is the only country in the Middle East that occupies land of its neighbors. It's the only country in the Middle East that holds large numbers of people in occupation. All that is inconsistent. And if the United States and the United Nations were to hold Israel to those same standards diplomatically, we would be at least cutting off not only aid, but boycotting it and even attacking it. The point is that without that support, Israel needs American backing, not just militarily, but in other ways, for its existence. It's an aberrant state. It's an artificial state. It's a state that without constant infusions of money and support would fall apart. And this was shown last year when Israel had to retreat with its tail between its legs after its invasion last year of Lebanon. It was a mm-hmm. fiasco, and everyone in Israel and the world recognizes that, because wars are not fought nowadays just with nuclear wars. They're fought also on in a guerrilla-type situation, as we've seen in Iraq. If we wanted to simply win in Iraq in the classic military sense, we could just flatten Iraq, I suppose. But our goal in that land isn't just to, quote, win. It's also supposedly to create a democracy. And that's another problem about American empire, because American foreign policy is an extension of our domestic policy. That is, just as we think and believe that we can turn everybody into an American who immigrates to this country or is born in this country, so also do our political leaders tell us that we've got to make over the rest of the world as an image and likeness of the United States. And it's just as foolish, one is just as foolish as the other. But a country like Britain can give up its empire and go back to being British because it has a core of what it is. America doesn't have a defined core, culturally or ethnically or any other way, in the way that most countries do. And that's a source of strength in one way, but it's also a source of great weakness.
Well, a couple things. First of all, this guerrilla warfare, I mean, you know, from my point of view, there's an occupation going on in Iraq, and what we've got, we don't have al-Qaeda, well, we got al-CIA over there, but the insurgents are nothing more than the people that are, you know, residents of their own country, and they want their country back. And then on the other side of the coin, we've got this spoiled, wicked stepchild who stomps their feet anytime they don't get their way, and I'm talking about Israel here.
Yes, that's a big problem, yes.
Right, yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, we got to take a break here, Mark. Okay. Great conversation going.
Okay, very good.
We'll be back in three, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber, the Institute for Historical Review. Much more to come. Going to open the phone lines up at the top of the hour. Stick with us. Call your friends and neighbors. You might want to call and put your 2 cents in. We'll be back in three.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber. And, Mark, I wanted to ask you about, now, by the way, I'm going to open the phone lines at the top of the hour, so I know I've already got a caller on the line. You can hold if you want to or call back right after the top of the hour, because I'm not going to take any calls until after make a couple more points here. Mark, let me ask you, do you think that if we were to just, and I know this is an impossibility because we've got a lot of people in our administration who have basically, you know, seeped in there with dual citizenship from Israel. Everybody is, you know, leaning. They're sympathetic towards Israel. We've got the Israeli lobby. If, you know, in my wildest dreams, if we just stop supporting Israel, we boycott them, we cut off their funds and so forth, do you think a lot of our foreign policy problems would go away?
No question. This has been this point has been made over and over by specialists of the Middle East, by experts on international affairs. It's laid out very well in a new book called The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Professors Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer. One of the main reasons that the United States is so distrusted and even hated around the world is its support of Israel, because it makes a mockery of all the principles that we claim to uphold. The United States is virtually the only country in the world that whose leaders still support Israel's policies in the West Bank, occupied territories, and so forth. Now, this isn't because the Americans are so much smarter and more moral than people in other countries. It's because there's a tremendous grip on our media and our political system by the pro-Israel lobby, by organized Jewry, by what can be called Jewish Zionist power. And that has so distorted the whole background and the reality in the Middle East for most Americans that the American public is very misled on this thing. And it's backed up in this regard by the so-called Christian Zionists, very pro-Israel American Christians who are completely out of step with the vast majority of Christians in the world. Christians in all the rest of the world, and even most of the major religions in this country, are not blind followers of Israel, but there's a very vocal minority here in this country that is. And I think they're completely out of step, and they misread the situation. Of course, they base their view on their own particular and peculiar reading of the Bible. But the point is that U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East is not made out of the best interests of the United States or of the world, but on the basis of and in obedience to this powerful pro-Israel lobby here in the United States.
And what else is interesting, you know, as you just reminded me, I was driving over to Scottsdale the other day, and I happened to notice on my way back that there's this great big church on the corner, I believe it's of 56th and Shea. And the name of the church is the Beth, short for Bethlehem, Israel Church of God. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how is it that they're actually blending? You know, on the one hand, you've got the Jewish people that believe that Jesus was a prophet, but he wasn't the Savior. On the other hand, you've got the Christians that believe Jesus is the Savior, and they're blending these churches together. That's a total oxymoron. How in the world what are you going to preach?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the question is, why in the United States alone, of all the countries in the world, is there a significant minority of very pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, if you will, Christians like that? I think the reason for that is because those people are trying very hard to find an identity. And this kind of strange, unique brand of Christianity, which is characteristic only of the United States, has to do with a lack of identity among the American people, and by people searching for something to identify with. And they've latched on to this particular thing.
Yeah, it's just another example of being sheeple. Looking for somebody to follow, some idea. All they need is a leader. It doesn't matter who it is. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming up to the top of the hour. Folks, stick with us. Got another hour to come. Phone lines on the open. 800-313-9443. I'll see you in 2 minutes.
I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could.
Since 19... 19-